This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
The Bears defeat the Cleveland Browns 31-3. You heard me right. 31-3. All right. No play down to the opponent. They beat them like a mule. Unfortunate mule, but the mule was beaten. Toil for us. We need you to. Both sides of the ball. Actually, all three sides of the ball, except for a missed field goal by Santos. All right. Devin DuVernay did well with returning the ball and with two nice kickoffs in the return. Torrey Taylor had a couple of nice punts. Caleb looks sensational at times. We'll get on the play to DJ in the end zone and let us know in the comments what you thought. Because at first it was like, oh, no. And then it was like, wait, he really thought it. Like, it looked like he intended it because you see how high it was over the defenders and where DJ caught it. DJ was unleashed and given what he needs to succeed. DeAndre Swift was running like a man possessed with his jukes and him cutting it to the edge. He had a lot of up the gut cutting to the edge. The defense were getting sacks. Again, hey, you play who you're given on your schedule. If a team is bad, you treat them like they're bad. The Bears treated the Browns like a team that's trying to go deep into the playoffs. They didn't play around with them. And we'll see now when those funky Packers bring their asses to the lakefront what they're going to get next week. But we'll talk about that sometime this week. All right. Then we'll be back next week to laugh and joke and play as we deserve. So I am Kenneth Davis. This is the Windy City Podcast. That man right there, you know him, the man, the myth, the legend. He's Alex Shapiro. Alex, how are you doing, my guy?
Dude, what a game. I mean, you want to talk about complimentary football. You're talking about beat them like a mule. I mean, that's about as dominant as a performance as you'll see. I know the Eagles game was similarly dominant, but it's just another example of like responding to adversity, right? Okay, last week was tough. That's an L that nobody wanted. It was a really tough L because you thought you had a chance to steal one in Lambeau after not playing that great in the first half. And then,
sorry.
Excuse me, I got some of that winter cold going around the world.
Yes.
I had 102.5 fever yesterday. I'm a medical miracle. Look at this rebound. Look at this rebound. Whoa. I slept like 20 hours yesterday. I'm back. I'm back on my own two feet.
Are you the only one sick? Is your wife and kid sick? Are they fine?
The kid got me sick. Wife avoided.
God bless her. But he's okay right now?
He's great. He's living his best life. So now I'm the one. Yeah. But I'm getting better. So excuse me if my voice is a little raspy, if I have some coughs here and there. I'm just getting all choked up thinking about how good the Bears are against the Cleveland Browns. But truly, all three phases dominant. We've been down on special teams this year. Special teams was great, except for the missed field goal. But it's super tough in those conditions. It's like probably kicking like a bowling ball, I imagine. Caleb was sharp. Defense was stifling. I mean, the number they did on the Browns offense was absurd. For most of that game, for the only portion of the game that mattered, they had held them to like three or four first downs, period. Like, period, point blank. There were 10 defensive possessions. There were 10 defensive possessions, I think. Oh, here, let me count it out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Okay, so 12 total. Yeah, I'd written this down 12. when it was 10 total. 12 total possessions. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six of those 12, half of them were three and outs. Three of them were interceptions. And then the last one was a turnover on downs. So let's kind of throw the last one out of there. It's garbage. But nine possessions, you're ending with a three and out or an interception. That's ludicrous.
Right.
That is insane. So, yeah, I mean, what more can we say? This was all three phases. This was just all three phases taking it to the Cleveland Browns, who just, they didn't have any answers for anything.
Yeah, and Shador had one of the worst games he's had since he's been starting. And the Bears took advantage of it. Look, this is a bad Browns team. I don't want to harp on the Browns too long, but free Myles Garrett, and I don't know, people be like, he got paid, but it's terrible to have that career and mess around and play in Cleveland your whole entire life. And were they going to trade him? While you're paying for it, you may as well get paid more. I'm never hating on him getting the increase in bread, because people are like, well, you should have held out, whatever. But when you look at it, I only have one negative and we'll get to it later. But when you look at the fact that Caleb, all right, let's go to Caleb, the quarterback. Caleb was 17 of 28 for 242 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, and a QB rating of 112.5. I mean, a passer rating, not a QB rating, passer rating. All right. Caleb was dealing the way he had a couple of times he held on a little too long, not as upset because there was no turnovers from it. But he was wheeling and dealing, and he was making Myles Garrett at times look like a stooge. All right, that one where he climbed and he ducked down and climbed and invaded to the left, and Myles Garrett was bumbling behind him. And mind you, Myles Garrett is a generational player. I'm not taking swipes at him. And you saw that he almost got three sacks in this game.
He nearly broke the record. He was
on the Bears.
Close to getting that record.
Yeah, against a rookie, but still one of the better offensive line within the league. And a good offensive line coach and a good head coach when it comes to probably trying to scheme up to try to slow someone down. But Myles Garrett had a game, but Caleb had an even better game. Listen, the throw to DJ in the back of the end zone. I wrote, oh my, he hit DJ in the back of the end zone. I don't know why he tossed that over the top two Browns defenders. Was it reckless? And this was before we saw the back, and we were texting, and you were like, are you basically live? And I'm like, I saw that. When you see it from up close front side, and you see how it was over the Browns defenders. Again, it could have been a turnover, perhaps, but it didn't look like he did that accidentally. Or, you know, it looked like he knew what he was. You said, I didn't hear.
No, yeah, he was slinging it. He was right. Like, let me go get this crazy touchdown.
That dude. And then look, initially you thought he's perhaps going to throw it away. And for him to pull that off, and you have that type of gunslinger who can evade, who is growing. Yes, his completions have to grow, but you see the specialness and you see the adjustments with getting rid of the ball while within playing more in structure every week, and it's benefiting them. Yes, sometimes you need a bad team to get you going. And look, and they didn't play terrible last week, but also that's coming off of a game went losing interception last week, right? Like, and I don't think none of us thought that it was going to he was going to play down to it. It was going to, you know, be stuck in his head because he doesn't come off like that type of player. But for him to have that type of game, it was, they could have pulled him out after the third. You know, like it would have been easy with how the defense was playing against the Browns and how the Browns run game. But the Bears also, and again, you got a rookie quarterback who hasn't been starting a lot during the season, didn't get a lot of hit any reps. But they shut down Quinshon Judkins. They shut him down.
Yes.
All right. And believe me, I know, because he was on my fantasy team. And look, of all the times when they could have just let a guy eat a little bit, mind you, I did have the Bears
just defense. Let him get a garbage time score. Come on.
I just wanted a garbage TD, right? I just needed that. But I had the Bears defense, too, because I was like, I know the Bears defense is going to get turnovers today. Right? I was like, yes, so get it.
You're fine.
I'm still – I'm only like – I only got like nine – it's a 9-point that I may win this right now.
9-point margin for 9-point projection?
Yes, to the AFC. No. To the AFC seed right now, right? Who, I don't even, you don't, everybody,
about to lose
this
the...
isn't about,
okay,
this isn't about me as he goes to look at it. This isn't about me. This is about the Bears' victory. The run game. What did you have to say about Caleb? I'm sorry, I'm transitioning because I'm hyped. The run game. Go ahead.
No, I mean, Caleb was spectacular. That throw, just we've talked about it a lot, and it's one of the things I think is one of Caleb Williams' best qualities that we have not seen in Chicago for some time, when the teaching was don't turn the ball over, take care of the football, right? That was what was being hammered home. Take care of the football is that so many Chicago quarterbacks were reluctant to attack those super tight windows. They were reluctant to go for those home run balls. They were reluctant to give their wide receivers a chance when it's like, man, maybe shouldn't throw that ball. But he is not reluctant. He has repeatedly challenged those tight windows, made those incredibly insane throws in super, super tight windows, and often comes through, right? Like that throw worked out. The throw to Olamide Zaccheaus last week, along the side, or 2 weeks ago, along the side of the end zone. You know, those throws are special. Those throws are dangerous, but they turn into Bears touchdowns a lot. You know, they turn into explosive plays for the Bears a lot. And the fact that he can do this all without throwing so many interceptions is unbelievable. Caleb Williams has made 31 starts. He's made 31 starts, so he's still pretty young in his career. In those 31 starts, he's only thrown 12 interceptions, right? For a young QB, guys who are known for turning the ball over because they make mistakes, they get confused, you know, with defensive coverages. We saw the Bears do that to Shadur, right? They did something where they confused him and baited him into throwing a pick. These things happen to young quarterbacks all the time. The fact that he is both really good at not really throwing turnovers that much, and I know the one last week against the Packers just sticks out like a sore thumb, but 12 interceptions in 31 starts combined with his like gunslinging attitude and his big playmaking and his deep shots, it's extremely remarkable to me.
He now owns the record through his first 1,000 passes for the fewest interceptions in NFL history.
Wow. Fewest interceptions.
He broke Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, the first 1,000 passes, he has the record with the fewest interceptions, with only 12 interceptions over for 1,000. A rookie. I mean, well, 2 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that usually, I mean, however that's when you
1,000 passes.
Right. But that's usually when you are the worst when it comes to protecting the ball, right? Yeah. Right. When in your first couple of seasons or whatever, you may have an off year. But usually you have to adjust to protecting the ball. Some guys are innate, which clearly Caleb is. And the funny thing is he's a risk taker. Like this
is Jacoby Brissett is not – he doesn't have the arm talent that Caleb Williams has.
Yeah, and think about it. Initially starting off with New England, they weren't going to let him – Bill Belichick wasn't going to let him sit there and put the ball in a precarious situation. But for him to be a gunslinger, as you mentioned earlier through the text, and for only have 12 interceptions in two seasons and a guy that you're using, and he's not a guy that's a game manager, it speaks to him and some of his innate abilities. Caleb still has flaws, but he has innate abilities to not get sacked when guys have both hands on him. He can break free. He's, of course, a scrambler. He has one of the better arms when it comes to whip, different platforms that he's throwing off of and what he can do with the ball. He's special. He just has to grow with them playing in the clock and structure. But again, you know, with the Bears teams in the first season of Ben Johnson's tenure here, and you already have 10 wins, you're talking about George Halas, all right, Papa Bear, and Matt Nagy with the only Bears coaches in the first year, along with now Ben Johnson, to get 10 victories in the first season coaching the Bears, and take out Matt Nagy. I feel like this is going to have some more stuff, because at least George Halas had championships. They didn't have Super Bowls. They didn't have the marketing, but they had championships back then. But this is, again, and I'll let Alex go. This is so good because it doesn't feel, not enough people get tired of it, that it's built on a bad slab. It's built on something for real that you can see next year if they're not hurt, that they can grow and they can build on. And so many of the holes have now been fixed, that there's fewer things you have to do in this offseason in free agency in the draft to really make this team. And I know around here, we get tired of it when sometimes national people want to come in and they love the Bears, right? People, I know, and it's funny, I argue with people like this, not to tell them, like, nationally, people do want the Bears to be good because it gives them something more to talk about. And this is the third largest market. And really, if you're talking football, it could be one. I mean, it could be two or three. You got to still give New York by population density. And then you could think about Philly and Chicago. I think L.A. It's not the same as, for instance, like here in Chicago, as far as live and die by it. But right now, your coach had a good game, but I'm gonna get on his ass in a second. There was a couple of problems with Ben Johnson today. All right. Do you want me to talk about it or do you want me to wait?
Get in there, man. Get in there.
Okay. So first half, they ended up punting the ball when they should have just got, they had two times to just get the first down, right? They threw the ball on both times. And at what this was the penultimate series before the end of the first half. All right.
Okay, for sure. Yeah.
And again, anybody was like, what the hell? This is the second to last one. All right. So now no Alex. So
it was the three and up. There was a two minute drive where they went three and up.
Right. And the problem with it where one, I think it was like a minute 40 left on the clock, right? Mm-hmm. And the problem with it was one, had you sat there and run the ball, there was a chance that you could have ran the ball, the clock out, or at least you mm-hmm. would have only given the Browns the ball back with a little bit of time left. You know what made it worse out of that bad play call by Ben Johnson? Right at the end of the first half.
He got nine yards on first down with Kyle Manungai and right, made it 3-1.
Right. That like that right there, stop being cute, Ben. Like stop being that type of shit to cost us. And again, it's the Browns. But the real reason that it's bad, because you knew that the win was in hand for the Bears, the reason it was bad was because that last series, which they probably wouldn't have had they had more time to run off the clock, Caleb looked like he got hurt. Mm. And that right there, we would have been on that ass if Caleb didn't come back out in that second half, yeah. right?
Yeah.
And that part, he did that, and then he did it again going forward on fourth down, and Caleb got sacked by Alex Wright. And it's like, yeah. dude, why? Like, stop. All right. Now everything they say about Caleb going for the home run applies to the head coach too. And I'm Ben Johnson's biggest fan, right? You can't do that. All right. Even against the Browns, because one thing is someone can get hurt. And this is the premium time of the year when we sitting here swigging Kool-Aid and some bad to fuck everything up. And we'd be like, damn it, if we only had so-and-so, right? And so that's my only bad part, actually, of this game was Ben Johnson was playing around too much, and you don't need to do that against the Browns, man. No, it's a war of attrition, and everybody's banged up, but you don't want to put your guys in a precarious situation when you can get the hell up out of there by just taking care of the ball and making sure you're playing fundamental football. That's my shot at Ben Johnson to his ears.
There was some cuteness. There was some cuteness. I'm just going to play a little devil's advocate here. Would you rather Ben Johnson try and get cute and mess around with stuff and try things in a game that's like, okay, we're going to handily win this bad boy. So it's like, okay, let's see what this looks like in game action rather than getting cute against the Green Bay Packers next week, right? Do you want to try the cuteness this week? See what you can get away with, see what you can't get away with to do some self-scouting later. Just a little devil's advocacy.
No. I think that's a great point. The real issue in both instances is Caleb got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, so the first one for him, he wouldn't have been out there probably for that last series. That would have been the final of the first half instead of the penultimate of the first half. So that's where it's bad, because if he gets hurt, none of this matters. This team could still be kind of good with Tyson Bagent in there, but you're not the same team. With Tyson
Bagent, who was not available because he was ill. It was Case Keenum was the backup today.
And that's now you're talking crazy to me, Alex. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like, think about that. And that again, and also, and again, this I won't even say this is nitpicking, this is just fact. In a game you had to win too. So imagine if he's out for the second half. Again, the Bears defense probably would have done what they need to do, but you could have given the Browns offense more opportunities, because a quarterback that's cold, let alone Case Keenum coming in, may turn the ball over. Now, the Bears could have just went to a run, heavy run, and just kept the ball on the ground, and I hope that's what they would have done. I think you're right as far as, Alex, you want to see, but you don't want to risk the quarterback getting hurt, and that's why I brought up in the second half when Caleb got sacked by Wright, and it's the last thing you need, because you can – oh, this is the thing, and the Bears fans, we don't know this because we've never experienced it. We've never had a guy – that can take us to another level. Rising tides rises all ships. We've never had that quarterback. I've always said about the Packers and the Bears, we always come to the gunfight with blades, right? Like razors, and they got pistols, right? Machine guns, and we gotta get close. I mean, like, no, that's not how the modern NFL is playing. Now we have missiles. We actually have missiles too. It's like you take it off. I got missiles, right? We don't want to go back to not having nuclear capabilities. All right. Forget your treaties.
Capabilities. They got them. Right.
Yes. So that's
explosive. Sure. The Bears are explosive. Yeah. It's crazy. I'm with you. No, we were texting at the top of the fourth quarter. I put it out there on Twitter. I think the Bears could have benched Caleb Williams in the fourth quarter. Like, good job, dude. You had a phenomenal game. This game is a wrap. Let's be honest. DeAndre Swift is out here getting over 5 yards to carry. What did he end with? He had a phenomenal game. Yeah, 18 carries, 98 yards, 5.4 carry. Kyle Munonga is doing just fine as well. Ended with 11 carries for 33 yards. Not so good at three yards per carry. But Kyle Munonga was doing his job when he needed to. You're telling me Case Keenum can't hand the ball off to DeAndre Swift? You're telling me Case Keenum can't hand the ball off to Kyle Munonga? That Case Keenum can't hit a little play action? That's just a little play action flip to Cole Kmet? Case Keenum could do that in the fourth quarter. That's where I was like, I'm with you, because it is. We said it at the beginning of the year. We said it long ago on the Under Center podcast. It's all about Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is everything for this franchise. Where Caleb Williams goes, the Chicago Bears will go. You can throw Ben Johnson into that as well. Ben Johnson is obviously a huge proponent of that. If Caleb Williams gets hurt, especially if it happened to be on a silly play in a meaningless period, I mean, that like really, really hampers what the Chicago Bears could do. So I'm with you. It is about protecting your quarterback. And I thought he could have sat that fourth quarter and avoided taking those extra hits, because he did take some extra hits in that fourth quarter. And, just let it chill, man. Let him save his body, survive, and advance. Because Caleb Williams is everything for the Chicago Bears.
It would have also been a Travis Homer appearance, as Kyle Munonga is subbed with Travis Homer and you sit DeAndre Swift. As you mentioned, Swift had a great game with two touchdowns, a long of 17 yards, 18 attempts, and Alex told you for 98 yards. The way that he's been running the last like 4 weeks, where sometimes he's too shifty for his own good, but his shifty has just been fine. It's been so nice what he's doing. He's messing cats up, but also the way, like, sometimes he can't find. He used to break it outside when there was opportunities up the middle, but now, and I think it's also because what the Bears, the opposing teams have seen and how they're collapsing the interior because of center guard center. He did such a job on how he bounces it out, but it's the angle that he uses. Because he takes such a sharp angle, it makes sure it makes the person trying to set the edge. It throws off their ability to get to him. How he takes that angle, like a lot of guys would kind of swing, bring it out, and give the edge guy a chance. He comes so close to the back of the line that it makes the edge guy have to get out even further too, and he can outrun those people. The way he does that, and particularly how well it's been, hats off to him. Again, and I'll say this, hats off to a guy that last year was getting dissed and tore up. All right. Remember, everything was hate on him. And then this year, it's like, well, does Ben really want him here? Because when he was in Detroit, they didn't keep him. And look at what he's doing with his opportunity right now. Like, regardless of what they do in offseason, he's your starter. They're not going to bring. I hope they don't draft anybody in the first round that can run the ball. I mean, I'm being honest with you. We got other things to do.
But you're not saying.
He's not going to be there. Well, you know what? I mean, if he goes and if he's around after the top 16,
drops a 32? You don't think he drops a 32 for the Bears?
No, never. I love the 32. All right. I love the 32.
You like what I did there?
I love that Super Bowl chat. No, I don't think he will be there for the Bears. And I also think that the Bears have defensive issues and perhaps depending on who may be there for the offensive line, particularly if they want to go after someone else in the room for left tackle. But defensively, they need to go get an edge rusher and a DT is what they really need to do. But DeAndre Swift played well. And speaking about, I'm just bringing it up, edge rushers and DTs, Dexter, Javon Dexter Sr. played well. Austin Booker, all right, young Austin, had him a game, and Grady Jarrett got his first sack of the game. The interceptions, oh, the interceptions. When you're talking about, you had C.J. Gardner-Johnson, you had DeMarco Jackson, and Jalen Johnson on the Jerry Jeudy drop, basket drop. Woo! Boy, I know if Shador, for him and Jerry Jeudy being on the sideline a few weeks ago fussing, Jerry Jeudy better not say nothing to me today. All right? Because, look, I was going to suck anyway. I was going to have a bad game, but you could at least put a touchdown on there. It could at least been 1-2 as far as touchdowns and interceptions, yeah, instead of 0-3 when it comes to touchdown and interceptions.
1-2 is a lot different.
Yeah, 1-2 is a lot different. It's like, hey, it's particularly against such an opportunistic, a turnover opportunistic defense, yeah, right? That and just briefly, that also, I'm not going to say it wasn't going to change the game. The Bears are going to kick that ass. But it could have made them play better, because once the chance is really gone and you're like, man, we ain't got a chance in hell.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, that really was ball game, right? It was such a deflating moment for them. It was such a deflating moment for them, because the Bears took advantage. And this is something that they didn't do last week. They didn't really take advantage of the turnover. I mean, this week, that was ball game, right? It was Cleveland interception, Bears touchdown. Cleveland interception, Bears touchdown, right? I mean, in the span of like 5 minutes, it happened so fast. It happened real quick. It happened real quick. So not 5 minutes. I'm looking at it. It took 8 minutes. 8 minutes of game clock. But still, I mean, it was like, I mean, that was it. It was curtains. It was curtains after that interception. So completely, completely deflating. Great. And another play where just somehow, some way, you know, Bears fans watching that game, just like the DJ Moore touchdown, it's like going, oh no, oh no, oh no, to wait, it's a touchdown? To, oh no, oh no, oh no, to, wait, Jalen Johnson has the ball? How on earth did that happen? Like, right, those plays typically happen once a season. For the Bears, it happened twice. It happened twice in no time at all. It just happened. Two of those plays in quick succession. Absolute madness.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Alex, I know you're fighting a sickness. Listen, you're number one wide receiver. I won't say best, because I think DJ may be still better as far due to his experience. But Rome Dunze, your number one target, found out he wasn't going to play. Even though they probably need to hold him out for a couple more weeks. Well, you may need him. I said you needed him last week for Green Bay. But you sat there and you held him out. They said I think he aggravated that heel in warmups. But you had Luther Burden with 7 targets and 6 receptions and for 84 yards and a long of 40. DJ Moore went off with 5 targets, 4 receptions for 69 yards, 2 TDs and a long of 25. Listen, Mr. Colston Loveland. Oh, my goodness. I still may have not would have went with the other tight end. I'm not mad at it, but I'm hating. But when you look at five targets for four receptions and 63 yards, a longer 24, but the way he snatches the ball out of the sky, man, like his ability to catch the football is wide receiver level for a tight end. And you see why he was Ben Johnson's choice. One thing bad, Colston Loveland had four targets and two receptions, 28 yards and long of 8-17, but he looked like he hurt his ankle. Thank you. I'm sorry. Cole Kmet did. Yeah. He looked, and I hope he didn't, because you see how important having both tight ends, particularly in 12 or 13 formation, benefits the Bears. But again, that's kind of the point I was saying about this time of year. You lose guys that are so intricate to what you're doing on your football team, and you can't help it. But you also, and again, this wasn't what happened with Cole Kmet. Want to put guys in situations where something can happen when you don't have to do it. But hopefully Cole Kmet doesn't have an injury that will keep him out of the playoffs. I know the Bears have to get a victory or two more at least.
They got 10 wins.
They got 10 wins. Wait. How many? Okay, since me and you.
We 10 wins.
All right, so we did under center together for 2 or 3 years.
Longer than that. We started in 2020.
It was 2020 or was it 2021?
2021.
It was 2021. Okay. March of 21, right? I believe it was March of 21, right?
Okay.
And, of course, the station ended last October. You went on to CHSN and did great things. But in that time period, if we add up the Bears' victories, right, how many victories from when we first started doing under center to last season did the Bears have to this year having 10 victories? And how much bad football did we have to talk about? And we had fun, y'all. Look, talking football isn't a stressful thing. Well, it was stressful at times, but it still was fun. What are you about to say?
It was stressful, Alex? When it was like, oh my God, what on earth could we talk about with this football?
I can hear you saying that walking into the studio.
Oh my God.
Slamming your notebook down.
Oh my God. It was Josh Rock. We got to get Josh Rock on here one of these days. Just to give him the opportunity to say nice things about the Chicago Bears.
Oh, he doesn't.
He doesn't. He still won't.
No, he won't.
All right. Well, great. Let's get Josh Rock on here to continue to be nice about the Bears. Yeah, just that little dose. We just need a little dose of that.
He's still.
To answer your question. So I guess. Okay. So we did it. The 2021 season, 2022, 23. The 2024 season. So we did four seasons of the Under Center show, and now we have done a partial season of the Windy City Podcast. The very short time of the Windy City Podcast, we've seen about, I don't know, let me crunch the numbers real quick, 750% more better football than we did in 4 years of Under Center. That's it. 750% more better football. So a lot better football.
Yes.
It's incredible. 10 wins. 10 wins in 14 games. 10 wins
in 14.
This is not a drill.
In 14 games? And they start off the season bad.
They started 0-2.
Right. I mean, but the offense wasn't working well. For the passing game was, it still isn't at tip-top shape. It's gotten better. But they didn't start running the damn football to like week six?
Week six, yeah.
Yeah.
After the bye.
It was after the bye. So, dude, I mean, this right here, Bears fans, they get into the playoffs. Yes, contextually, it matters what happens. All right. But I'm not going to lose unless someone gets hurt and it affects next year. Right. Or someone gets arrested for something crazy. And I mean, it had to be damn near Ben Johnson himself, Caleb, right? But I'm going to enjoy this because, man, think about all those Sundays. Think about those Sundays you give up, right? Where you could go and do something, right? And you are signed into this and they keep kicking you. And now we finally get up and we grab the foot, Alex. No, not again. Right?
Not this time.
So it's good to finally be on this side with the future. You know what I'm saying? Like with the window doesn't seem like we better figure it out in 2 years because so-and-so's a free agent. Like, nah, man. Hey, we got the coach and the QB, baby. That's all you need out here in these streets. All right?
You got the coach. Cha-cha. You got the QB. You've got the interior of the line. You've got
the DC.
At least one tackle. And Ozzie Tripillo looks pretty solid. You know, looks pretty solid.
Hey,
like Joe Tooney ain't going to play forever. So you might have to replace your left guard. But hey,
Luke, you can get a guard. Yeah, I think you can find a guard.
You can get a guard.
Like, also, look,
we're not talking about wholesale changes on the offensive line. Offensive line is playing lights out. I mean, dude, what the Bears did with the run game today against the Browns D line, like that's also like kind of heroic. That performance from the O line, they took it to them. That was strength against strength. You know, Bears strength against Browns strength, and the Bears strength was stronger. I mean, that's confidence builder. That's like another type of statement. Like, we're going to take our best at your best, and our best is better than your best. I mean, there's just so much to celebrate, so many flowers to throw with this game.
It's funny when you mention Ozzie Tripillo. My thought was, oh, my goodness, you know how scary it have to be lining up and Myles Garrett is in a wide nine stance, everybody. And that's, for if you don't know, if these are how the linemen usually are, that means like he was out wide. Like Javon Kurse used to do this with the Eagles back in the day, where you get that, like, he, look at how far he was outside of Smythe on that one shot,
right?
Where he's outside of the tight end. And I mean, just thinking about what angle he's going to take and what he's going to do, I'd rather you be on me so I can get contact with you, but you're getting speed and now I'm on an island and you can go any way you want to go. I was like, man, I feel sorry for Ozzie Tripillo right there, dude. I'd rather him be directly shading my shoulder, my outside shoulder, than be wide out on me. That right there, dude, is someone that big and fast. Like, he's just not a one-trick pony. And he has moves, all right? Like, he's groovy with it, too. That's the best defensive player in the NFL.
That's the best
easily, man. But, yeah, having a good offensive line makes a difference, as most Bears fans knew. But the current general manager didn't invest in. Let's just be frank about it. That's just the truth. He kept trying to do it through the draft and tomfoolery and going out and making wholesale changes from guard center guard shows you what you can do, and not playing around and drafting projects like you have in the past also. So, again, shout out to Ben Johnson for bringing some common sense to the general manager's office as far as selection and pro personnel, and also in the draft.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit more about the defense and the job that they did? We touched on it a little bit more. It was the CJ Gardner-Johnson interception that I touched on a little bit. There was just like a clear way of confusing a young quarterback turning into an interception, and they highlighted it on the broadcast, which was nice. CJ Gardner-Johnson, and again, these are the things that we're talking about when we're saying Dennis Allen does a good job of disguising coverages, especially when bringing guys to the line, mimicking like they're going to blitz. So you had CJ Gardner-Johnson near the line of scrimmage. CJ Gardner-Johnson blitzes all the time, so you're probably like, okay, this guy might be coming. I'm a young quarterback. I don't really know. But whatever. I'm seeing this guy at the line of scrimmage. After the snap, CJ Gardner-Johnson just quietly drifts back into his zone. Shedeur Sanders does not see him at all. Lofts the ball up there. It's easy for CJ Gardner-Johnson, who's a very athletic, the good ball skills type of guy, to just slide right under it and pick that ball off. So that is, again, like a moment where Dennis Allen is putting his guys in a position to succeed and the players are executing. It's just absolute game plan and scheme meets the players. And, you know, it's the Jimmys and Joes and the X's and O's coming together. It's a wonderful thing to see. And he's done it all year. And it's just another exhibit of, okay, we're going to disguise this thing and CJ Gardner-Johnson is going to execute it perfectly. And Bears ball touchdown loading. So, once again, shout out to Dennis Allen. I mean, they swallowed up that run game. Quinshon Judkins, 12 carries for 21 yards. This is a good running back who's had a solid season. 12 carries for 21 yards. That is under 2 yards a carry. I mean, that's anemic. Oh, Kenneth, you're muted. You're muted.
This week, a top 12 running back, actually. I know personally. Man, I wish I played Rico McDowell. He's been terrible recently. And it looks like Jahmyr Gibbs may not get a lot. Man, being first, I don't want to get knocked out of the playoffs.
Are you gonna be a classic, like number one seed goes down in round one?
To the worst, one of the worst players.
You're gonna be the Purdue Boilermakers?
I want to say this though. Yeah, the Etney one from 2 seasons ago. No, because he played last from 3 seasons ago because they made it to the finals the season before last season, right? Yeah, because Connecticut won it twice. Yeah. All right. Anyway, I also want to say this. So you just pointed out C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I don't want to pick on him, but again, he was exposed for what happens in coverage by Bond. And now we didn't even talk about the fact that Kyler Gordon was ruled out of today's game and placed on IR, so he won't be playing any of the remaining games. And it keeps showing up in coverage where C.J. has to do stuff like that, where you need your true nickel guy out there that has the athleticism to keep up with the speedier receiver in that fashion. So that can come back. But the Bears have shown they can play without Kyler. But again, Dennis Allen's system is predicated on bringing pressure and using those defensive backs, particularly the nickelback, to take advantage of that. And a lot of defenses are based on using particularly the nickelbacks to help shut down the run game, since they're so close to the edge of the line. So again, and that's another thing that Kyler Gordon and C.J. Gardner-Johnson is good with that too. But we know how good Kyler Gordon is, and then how faster Kyler Gordon is when you're bringing pressure off the edge with that nickelback. But again, it's been it was a really good day. And as you pointed out, I mean, Nashawn Wright almost had an interception, like that right there. It's just a great game. I mean, and it should have been. Because this is a bad team, and I'll be honest, it's a bad franchise, right? Like, it's a poorly run franchise, to say the least. And I don't want to even go into the Browns right now because we're having a good time. There's no reason to sour the good time we're having with my thoughts about the Cleveland Browns from the rooter to the tutor. Was there anything else about the defense that you Stafford got hit right there, that you wanted to discuss?
Usually me watching Sunday Night Football record podcasts, but it's Kenneth watching the America's Game of the Week while we record for once.
I got Stafford, Devontae Adams, and Jahmyr Gibbs going right now, and my opponent has the damn Lions defense. So, yes, I'm watching the damn game right now.
All right. No, just like absolute dominance. Again, the defense absolutely dominated. No quarter for Cleveland. What a performance. I mean, this defense has been so good all year. MVP of the season has been the defense. Yes. Dennis Allen has his fingerprints all over the success. The Definitely players are executing. This was their best game of the year, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, just unreal performance.
Before we get out of here, I want to add to that. Pro personnel, so much better from the guys that have been brought in. You look at what DeMarco Jackson in a backup role has been able to do. We know Nashawn Wright was supposed to be a backup. You look at just all the players that have had to step up because players have been injured. Credit to them. Credit to them having these guys ready to go. Guys seem like they're ready to go, and they talk about it as far as Tyson Bagent weeks back saying that he's never felt like past regime would have had them. The backups is prepared as they have them right now. Are you prepared to give out game balls?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because this game balls are plenty, baby.
Game balls are plenty is right.
This game balls are plenty. Okay, I'll take the easiest one. Caleb Williams, come down here and get this game ball.
Okay, I'll give another easy one. DeAndre Swift. Kenneth, you brought up his shiftiness. I actually had one more thing about DeAndre Swift, so I'm glad we're bringing him up with the game balls. Also, his physicality. That touchdown run.
Oh my goodness.
What was it, like 17 yards out?
Yes, I mean, it was 17 yards.
That dude is breaking tackles, running through guys. Like, there's a physicality he's bringing to his game that we've seen, again, throughout the year. Lowering the shoulder. He did it earlier, lowering the shoulder to get a few more yards.
Yes.
Breaking tackles. And scoring touchdowns, DeAndre Swift. Is it like his fifth game ball of the year that we've given to him? But, man, he's been so good.
Yes. I want to give a game ball out to this one is for two special teamers. All right. One goes to Devin Duvernay for three good kickoff returns, or maybe it was two good kickoff returns, two good punts, but he definitely had two good kickoffs returns and one good punt. But I felt like a couple where he was at, he got a decent amount of yards, even if it was like 8 yards because the field was more compressed. He had a really good game, even the catch from Caleb on the sideline. But someone who I make fun of a lot, I got to give props to Torrey Taylor for his punt game this day as far as field positioning. He did a real good game. So giving game balls out to both of the special team guys right there.
I'm giving 11 game balls to the defensive players.
Okay.
I mean, I can't single out any single person on that defense. They all played lights out, every single one of them. Again, we're not watching the all 22. We're recording this right after the game. So right now I'm giving out 11 balls to 11 guys because that defensive performance was insane. And a 12th one for Dennis Allen. So 12 game balls.
Okay. All right.
You got any more?
Nope.
All right. We handed out a whole lot of game balls today. 11 plus 2 plus 14. We handed out 14 game balls. No, 15 game balls.
Yeah. I'm about to
15
say
15 game balls.
Yes. All right. What else did you want to talk for your extra point, Alex?
Do you have an extra point, Kenneth?
No, I don't have an extra point.
Okay. I'm unfortunately going to bring it down a little bit to talk about something that is extremely tragic that happened and was honestly a distraction for me during the game today. And that was the Hanukkah massacre at Bondi Beach in Australia. And unfortunately, things of this nature have just become far, far, far too commonplace. And it's a horrible, tragic, awful, scary thing. And anti-Semitism has simply been on the rise around the world since October 7th, the biggest massacre since the Holocaust, across the globe. And I wanted to underline some of these things to show that this is not an isolated incident, that, you know, the Hanukkah massacre in Australia comes off the heels of the Yom Kippur killings in London, comes off the heels of people being shot for being Jewish in Washington, D.C., comes off the heels of Jewish attacks in Colorado. Like, these are all recent things. Anti-Semitism is rising, and it needs to end. So I brought some numbers because that's what I do. I like to bring numbers about how staggeringly awful it is. This is from the ADL. In the United States, anti-Semitic hate crimes rose 139% from 2022 to 2023. 3,698 hate crimes against Jews to 8,873. And they say over 5,000 of those happened after October 7th. So 5,000 of those, 8,873, came in the last 3 months. They rose again from 2023 to 2024. The 2025 numbers won't be released until next year. From 2024 to 2025, they jumped again from 8,873 to 9,354. That's another 5% jump. That's in the United States of America. Across the globe, the ADL does a survey every year about anti-Semitic ideas, just to see basically how many anti-Semites are out there and how much anti-Semitism is harbored out there. So they send this survey out. There's 11 questions on it. The questions range from, do you believe Jews have too much power in the business world? Do you believe the Holocaust is inaccurate? To, do you believe that Jews just have irritating traits? So there's 11 of those questions. 46% of the people around the world answered positively, anti-Semitically, if you will. 46% harbored the anti-Semitic trope to 6 out of 11 of those questions. 6 out of 11 of those questions, nearly half of the world. In Chicago, Illinois, our home, it's been bad. We see it here. We see it here. We feel it here. Hate crimes have actually been down across the board, which is good. So from year to year, this is from the city of Chicago itself. Year to year, this is the most recent data. Hate crimes are down, and it's great. Anti-trans crimes are down 36%. Anti-Asian crimes down 45%. Anti-Latino crimes down 18%. Anti-Black crimes down 57%. Anti-Muslim crimes down 62.5%. Jewish hate crimes up 58%. It's a terrible thing, and this is a joyous holiday, Hanukkah. I'm going to light the candle with my family tonight. It's about surviving a time when people wanted to wipe us off the planet. Simple as that. That's what we're celebrating with Hanukkah, a celebration of life. And Am Yisrael Chai, you'll hear that. The people of Israel live. And I want to say that here. Am Yisrael Chai, the people of Israel live on and on throughout all of these things, and we will continue to live. So please stand up to anti-Semitism. Hearts go out to the 16 dead in Australia, the many more hospitalized, and to all the Jews out there. Light your menorah. I hope you light it proudly. I hope you hug your loved ones. And I just want to say, have a wonderful Hanukkah, and Am Yisrael Chai to everyone out there.
Prayers and wishes to the families, and also we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the shooting at Brown University in Rhode Island, Providence, Rhode Island. We'll be back this week. I'm sorry, Alex. We'll be back this week. Talk about the Bears' upcoming game against the Packers, and we'll be back after the Pack game here at the Windy City Podcast on Fansided. Talk about perhaps the Bears' victory versus the Pack. Everybody, hug your loved ones, because you never know. And just be safe out there. We'll talk to you.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.